Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord. This lovely Sunday morning, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. And we do pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will be with us as we are gathered in his house once again this morning. And let me just remind you of the announcements, both for today and for the incoming week. We gather again this evening in the house of the Lord, 6:30 for the time of prayer, and then the evening meeting at 7 p.m. And we invite you and encourage you to come again this evening and to spend time in God's house and to spend time around the things of God. Then for the incoming week, Monday night, continues to work amongst the boys and girls at 7 p.m. here in the church, and continue to remember that work in your prayers that the Lord will yet bring in more children even in the weeks that lie ahead. We meet then for Bible study and for prayer on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. and we invite young and old alike, do come aside in that midweek time around the things of God. Come and study God's word with us, and then come and pray for the work of the Lord here in Six Mile Cross. The services then continue Friday night. I do remind the members of Session of Presbytery, and for this month it is online, brethren, and that email is there for you with the login details for it. So, brethren, do remember that on Friday evening. Then on Saturday there is the outreach with Consider Christ, and they're heading down in the will of the Lord towards Longford. And if you'd like to be part of those times of outreach, then the numbers are there. There's a sheet and a notice board in the front porch with the numbers that you need to contact. Oma, I understand, always take their bus down, and they can pick you up at Crawford's Bridge. There's usually spaces in the bus if you'd like to go along and to be part of that outreach down south. So do remember that work in your prayers, and if you can go along and support it, then certainly do so again this Saturday. Next Sunday, the Sabbath school in the morning, 10:30, and in the regular times of worship, 11:30, 7 p.m, with the seasons of prayer before both of those meetings. I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct those services. We do pray that the Lord will bless once again in the house of the Lord. Can we mention then that today is the last announcements in relation to the CD of our brother Sam Houston's, priced at £10. If you like one, please do put your name down on the sheet today. And they are at hand here. I've got the copies here in the pulpit. And so if you'd like a copy, then please do put your name down today, and we'll get that to you very quickly. And over the next couple of days, we're mentioning this for the final time as well, the donations towards Let the Bible Speak charity shop. The minister's room is well filled, and we do really thank each one that has already donated and left in gifts towards that. And we did mention that we'd leave it open until the end of January. Now, the end of January, of course, is the middle of the week. And if you have any more donations to leave in, if you do mention to us, so that those that are transporting and moving the stuff to the charity shop, so that they can plan when to do it, because they don't want to fill their car and then a couple of bags come in after they've just left. And so if you have any more to leave in, do mention to us at the door, even as you leave today, and then we'll ensure that the donations are not lifted until such times as all things are brought in. But we do, again, thank you for bringing in so much already, and we do pray that the Lord will use those items even as they go towards those shops. Then can we mention, on behalf of our Cookstown congregation, this is the fifth Sunday, and they have a youth rally this evening at 8:45, and Dr. Paul Ferguson will be along to speak at that meeting there in Cookstown. And young people, you're invited to go along to that youth rally there this evening. That's all by way of announcements. We'll turn in our hymn books to the hymn number 63. The hymn number 63, the page is 201. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. 63, and we'll stand together as we sing, please.
Sweet.
still ourselves in God's presence. Unite together in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee, O God, already for bringing us to consider the love of God. We thank Thee that the love of Jesus Christ is evident, for He came to this earth. He died upon the cross for our sin. He took our sin and our sorrow and He made them His very own. And He bore them to Calvary. And there He suffered. And He died alone. Oh Father, we thank Thee this day that each one that is saved can truly say we love Him because He first loved us. We thank Thee for the love of God. We thank Thee for that love that Thou hast given us even for Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for that day and hour when Thou didst save us, when Thou didst draw us on to Thyself, when Thou didst bring us into Thy family. We thank Thee for the privileges and the place, the standing that we have in Christ. We thank Thee, even as we considered the other evening, we are complete in Him. We have everything we need in Christ. There's nothing of this world. There's nothing of ourselves. But, O God, we thank and praise Thee that everything that we could ever need or desire is found in Jesus Christ. O God, we gather afresh this morning to worship and to praise, to lift up our hearts unto Thee, to give thanks and to even show our adoration once again. Father, we pray that Thou wilt even bless us in our time together. We pray that each one of Thy children at our hearts will be warmed. Oh, that we will not be coming and worshiping simply with our lips. But, O Father, that our hearts will be in fire for Thee. Lord, give us that immense road experience in the house of God today. Give us that time whenever our hearts are stirred afresh. Give us that experience of the Lord being with us, of the Lord speaking to us, of the Lord even showing from this precious word His great love for us. O Father, we pray that Thou wilt encourage Thy people, that Thou wilt draw them ever closer unto Thee. Lord, we think of those as well that are outside of Christ. We pray that Thou wilt even speak to them. O Father, that they will come today and that they will taste and see that the Lord is good, that they will experience that love of God for themselves. Lord, remember each one. We thank Thee for undertaking and for answering prayer. We thank Thee, O Lord, even for those that have returned, Lord, and Thou hast set Thy touch upon, and Lord, Thou hast strengthened them in body. We pray for others that are still, O God, laid aside at this time. We ask Thee that Thou wilt touch them, that even soon that they will be with us once again, that they will be part even of our gathering together as we worship our King and our Lord. O Father, remember the elderly as well. We pray for Thy hand upon them. We think especially of those that can't join with us anymore. Lord, may they know the love of God and the presence of God with them. Lord, remember this work. Oh, Father, we thank Thee for the Sabbath school this morning. We thank Thee for the book again that was opened to the children and to the young people. Oh, God, that Thou wilt bless that word, that those young people and those children will remember it, that they will take it to their hearts what they are learning week by week. And, Father, for those that are saved, that Thou wilt build them, that Thou wilt strengthen them, that Thou wilt deepen their roots in the things of God. We pray for those that are not saved, that Thou wilt have mercy. Oh God, that Thou wilt save their precious souls. Lord, remember us today, we pray Thee. Remember our times of worship. Remember, oh God, even in those hours in between, that Thou wilt, Lord, watch over us, that Thou wilt enable us to keep Thy day, that Thou wilt enable us to worship Thee, even in the private place as well as the public place, that Thou wilt give us seasons, even when we know that the Lord is near, when we know His presence with us, when we know the voice of God even speaking unto us. O Lord, encourage Thy people. Encourage the work of God right across this land. We thank Thee, Lord, for the gospel evangelism efforts that there are. We thank Thee for the gospel efforts that are made. We thank Thee that week by week, and yea, even day by day, the gospel is preached, whether in the open air or from a pulpit. Oh, that Thou wilt bless it. Oh, that Thou wilt save yet more precious souls. As Thou hast been saving, O God, the mercy drops even across our land. Give us showers. Give us days, O God, of rich blessing ahead. When thou dost draw near, when the Spirit of God descends, and we see the tide turn once again. Hear and answer us this day, O God. Bless us in our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 213, the page is 262. Was it for me alone, the Saviour left His glorious throne? The dazzling splendors of the sky, was it for me? He came to die. 213, let's keep up that good singing as we sing on to the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Proverbs chapter 9. Read together the second half of this chapter this morning. In the book of Proverbs in the chapter 9. And we commence at the verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 9, the verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts this morning. Let's turn for offering hymn 343. 343, the page is 315. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Let's remain seated for the first part of the hymn, please.
Thank you.
Let's turn again now to the book of Song of Solomon and the chapter number 1. The Song of Solomon, the chapter 1. We'll read the opening 7 verses this morning together. Song of Solomon 1, the verse 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poureth forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice. In thee we will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely. We daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black. And because the sun hath looked upon me, and my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I want to consider these opening verses of this Song of Songs this morning under the heading, The Greatest Love of All. The Greatest Love of All. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence. Ask the Lord to speak. Speak to each and to every heart. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee for thy hand of mercy upon us thus far in this meeting. For the help that thou hast been to each one of us. And for thy presence with us as we have sang thy praises. And as we have read thy word. O God, now as we come to hear it preached, we do pray that thou wilt still us. We pray that thou wilt keep our attention, guard our thoughts, O God, and guard our minds, and keep us fixed upon thy word. Speak to each and to every heart. O, give us that understanding even of what is before us of the text. Give us, O God, that glimpse of our Savior. O, that this morning that we will see Christ. That we will see his love, yea, the love that is greatest of all. Fill us with thy Spirit even now, I pray thee. In Jesus' name, amen. The story is told of how on one occasion there was a banker from the city of New York who had a great desire to reach all of the soldiers at a particular army base with the gospel. But the rules stated that he could not do this in person. But such was his desire, even though he couldn't go in and speak to them face to face, he still had a great desire to reach them. And so he commissioned a factory to produce and to make several thousand little hand mirrors. And on the back of each of these mirrors, he had them inscribe the text of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And underneath, he put the little inscription underneath the text. He says, if you want to see who it is that God loves, then turn over. So that meant that every single one of the soldiers, when they read the inscription in the back, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, when they turned it over, they were looking at themselves. And that simple gospel message was being given to each one of the soldiers, that God's love was that gift even to each one of them, if they simply believed in him. As we mentioned last week, as we give the introduction into this book, the great theme of this song is love. The love of the groom for his bride, and also the love which was given by the bride to the groom. We mentioned last week of how this book is not to be taken literal. As we read through it, as we go through the verses, as the chapters come one after the other, it is widely believed, and it must be remembered, that it's not a literal book to be taken, but rather it is an analogy or an allegory of the love that Christ the groom has for his church, the bride. And as you enter into it, as we read again the opening verses this morning, the introduction, if you want to call it that, the verse 1 is very concise and very crisp indeed. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And immediately then you come into the first participation in the song by the bride. Verse 2 down to verse 7. The end of verse 7 is the bride speaking. And really what you have in these opening verses is an entrance into exactly what the love of the groom is for the bride. Of how that love has impacted her. Of how it has changed her. Of how it has changed her thoughts. Of how that has changed her words. Of how it has changed her actions. Of how the love of the groom has completely and totally changed her. In every part of her. No longer is she simply the Shulamite bride or the Shulamite girl minding the vineyards for the family. Now she is the bride of the groom. And let me say this, even from the outset, that there ought to be nothing that impacts a Christian more than the love of God. There ought to be nothing that impacts a Christian more than the love of God. Because we're going to see in these verses just how much the love of the groom has an impact upon the bride. And you think of it then, Christ and the church, surely then the love of Christ ought to have the greatest impact upon the church. It was D.L. Moody, he says, "I know of no truth in the whole Bible that ought to come home to us with such power and yet tenderness as that of the love of God." I wonder when was the last time you considered the love of God for you? When was the last time that you sat even just with your Bible open before you and you're going through the scriptures or even in prayer and you think to yourself and it just hits you afresh and it comes home to you, God loves me. It ought to thrill our souls. I trust it will even this morning as we consider these opening verses together. When we consider the greatest love of all, four things I leave with you. Firstly, there is a desire for the greatest love. There is a desire for the greatest love. Verse 2, it says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." A kiss is one of the greatest expressions of love. You will not kiss someone that you do not have a love for. I'm not simply meaning that friendly, as it were, introduction kiss whenever some people, instead of shaking hands, will kiss each other on the lips. It's some of the cultures of the world that a kiss and a kiss, maybe even a third kiss, just to make sure that you got kissed and welcome to each other. But I'm talking about the kiss of affection. You don't kiss someone affectionately that you do not love. A child will kiss their parents, a parent will kiss the child, and a spouse will kiss the other spouse because there is a love between them. And from the outset, the bride is saying this, "I want to experience his love. I want to be kissed. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I want to know that he loves me. I want to know that the groom loves me. I want to experience his love for myself." See, it's not simply enough to hear that he loves me. It's not simply enough for it to be told by her family or by the virgins of Jerusalem or by the individuals around, "Oh, the groom loves you." She's saying it's not enough just to hear it with my ears, but I must feel it. I must experience it for myself. I want him to kiss me because his love is better than wine. The wine here that's speaking about is really a symbol of the pleasures of the world. It's the greatest at that time experience of the world, they could say, was wine. So what the bride here is saying, "I want to experience the love of the groom even more than the greatest pleasures that this world has to offer me." What you have in these opening words is really a desire. "I want to experience the love of Christ." You know, there are many people in this world who have heard of the love of God. There's many people in this world who even speak of the love of God. Many individuals will even state and have it upon placards, God is love. But I wonder how many of them have actually experienced God's love for themselves. How many are simply talking about it, or how many have experienced it? How many have taken that time and experienced it personally in their lives, that God loves them? The Apostle Paul, he spoke of it, Romans 5 and 8. God commendeth, in other words, God revealed his love towards us. Now, whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it's only whenever you realize personally that the Lord Jesus Christ died specifically for you, that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood specifically for you, that he endured the wrath of his Father specifically for you, that he died and was laid in a tomb specifically for you, that he went under the power of death for a season specifically for you, that he rose from the dead specifically for you, that he sits at the right hand of the Father today praying specifically for you. That's when you start and you realize personally, that's when you experience the love of God. To think that God the Son left everything in heaven, left the splendors of glory, left the adoration of the angels, and came down under the law for you. Yes, many have heard of God's love. And yet how many today in this world are feeling unloved? Many individuals today are sitting in homes and they feel no one loves me. No one cares for me. If I died today, would anybody even miss me? Many individuals there are today that are in a dark, dark place because they feel, and maybe they grew up, and they grew up in meetings, or they grew up in children's meetings, and they sang the choruses, Jesus loves me, this I know. And yet today they're sitting in homes and they're feeling unloved because they heard about it, but they never experienced it. Unsaved today, let me encourage you, come to the cross and see the love of God in Christ. There's nothing like the love. There's nothing like it in the world. And you can go anywhere in this world you want. You can see every attraction there is in the world. You can see every place. You can partake of everything that you can possibly partake in. Not one will come close to the pleasure of experiencing God's love. Let me say also that desire to experience the love of God shouldn't stop at the cross. The bride of Christ should ever have the desire to experience more and more of his love. To know more and more of their Savior. To know more and more of the bridegroom. To know and experience more and more just how much God loves them. To understand more of his heart. Certainly Christ is one to be desired. Surely even if you pause to consider the attributes of God, they are all to us, even as it speaks there in the verse number 3. All of the attributes of God are as a savor of good ointments. That sweet-smelling fragrance aroma that fills the room. That's which is appealing to anyone who's even near. You think of the life of Christ. Speaking there of the fragrance even of the groom, the savor of thine ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. And that fragrance that the groom gave off, it was pleasing to everyone that was around him, everyone that was in that close vicinity of the groom. They enjoyed that aroma. They enjoyed that fragrance. You realize that when Christ walked upon this earth, everything he did pleased the normal men and women of the land. there was the anointing of oil upon him, i.e. he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled without measure. That's what John 3:34 shows us. And this led to people loving him. This led to people desiring him. Individuals would get up and leave their homes early in the morning. They would walk for miles and miles. They would stand out all day just to hear him preach. Some wouldn't even go home at night. They simply stayed because they longed to be with Christ. They would do without the comforts of meals. They would stand in the wilderness. Even that was what led to the feeding of the 5,000. They were standing in the wilderness, thousands of them, with no food. They would travel from near and far because never man spake like this man. They would do without the food and the water to be near him. Why? Because he had the words of life. The sick and community were brought to him even after dark. It tells us, Luke 4:40, he healed the sick even at sunset. Everyone that was brought to him, Christ showed mercy to. Because he declared, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There's not one I will reject or turn away from me. And so that aroma of the Holy Spirit, that aroma of God, the anointing of oil upon him, it went forth and it pleased all around. Apart from the religious leaders, of course. The desire the bride had here was to be with Christ. To experience his love. Oh, that he would kiss me. There's a desire for the love. Secondly, in the verse 4, there's a drawing of the love. Because verse 4 begins with the words, draw me, we will run after thee. Praise God today, his love towards the bride's a drawing love. In other words, he pulls us in. What she's really saying here to the groom is, show me you love me. Show me you love me and I'll come. She's seeking that assurance. She's seeking to know. Before she ever moves, she needs to know he loves me. You know, maybe you were like that in the early days of your courtship. Maybe you had your eye. You think back. Some of us might have to think back, maybe further than others, to those days of courting. Maybe the lady caught your eye. Maybe it was the case that you caught the man's eye and you're thinking to yourself, I wonder, do they love me? I wonder, are they interested in me? Am I attracted, but are they attracted to me? And you don't want to make the first move. You don't want to be the one to go over and to strike up the conversation, because what happens if they reject me? Or maybe whenever you're dating them and you're courting them and you start to think, oh, I love them. But I don't want to be the first one to say it, because what if I say it and that just, they just run a mile. Maybe the lady waiting for the man to make the move. Man's a bit slow in the feet. Maybe the doubt starts to set in. Does he like me? Does he love me? He said nothing. He hasn't even come over and had a conversation or anything. It had to be that drawing. The bride's there and she's saying, draw me. In other words, bring me closer. And if you show, if you make that first move, as it were, I'll run to you. Isn't that the same in salvation? There's a relationship between Christ and his bride. Why? Because Christ moved first. Christ drew his bride unto himself. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. He gave himself for us. He drew us unto himself. He gave us that ability to respond and to run to him. And even throughout your Christian life, Christ ever draws you in closer. He has to. After all, as the hymn writer says, we're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God we love. So ever that there cord of love around us, the Lord's just drawing us and he's just pulling us ever closer into him. Maybe it even comes to the point there's dark providences in your life, there's hard trials you're going through, and it's just one after another, and you even start to question, does God love me at all? Look at all I'm going through. If God loves me, why am I enduring all of this? Why am I going through all of this? Does God love me? And then in his love, he draws us closer. He brings us even closer. You can see even more of his heart. And you realize God does love me. And you run to him. You know, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we realize just how vast the love of Christ is for us. We sang the hymn, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. It's underneath me, it's all around me. It's the current of his love." Or to be ever drawn closer and closer. To understand more and more of the love, the heart of God. Christ loves me. Christ died for me. Christ wants me to be with him. That's why it says there in the verse number 4, "The king hath brought me into his chambers." He desires to be with me. He desires me to be with him. Christ desires us to have us in his home forever. It's what he prayed, John 17, 24. "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me." Lord, I want them in heaven with me. I want all of my people in my king's chambers. I want them all in the palaces of heaven. And I want them there forever. Oh, the love of God's a drawing love. Then thirdly, I see there's a delight in the love, the verse 4. The bride says, "We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine." You know, to experience the love of God in your life personally brings nothing but joy and gladness. It's wonderful to see even what that joy results in for the bride. Verse 4, "We will remember thy love more than wine." In other words, the more that we experience God's love, the more we'll forget about what we used to have. The more that we experience God's love, the more that we enjoy it. And the more that we enjoy it, the more that we'll think about it. And the more that we think about it, the more that we're thinking about Christ. And the less that we're thinking about the pleasures. Because they peel into the background. The more that our eyes are upon Christ, the more that we're looking upon his beauty, the more that we're considering his love for us, the less and the less the attraction of the world will be. Why is it so many Christians backslide and go off into the world and turn aside? Because they take their eyes off Jesus. They get so caught up with the activities in the world that they forget just to simply be still and know that he is God. They forget to stop and just to think of how much God loves them. Oh, that each child of God, those pleasures of the world that once filled your mind, filled your time, that they would just fade into the background, that they'd be away in the distant, in the rearview mirror, as it were, just getting smaller and smaller behind you as you're running to Christ. That Christ will have the preeminence. His love will be to the forefront. You'll remember that you'll be rejoicing, that you'll be glad. He loves me. He's drawn me. It gives you joy. 1 Peter 1, verse 8, speaking of Christ. Peter said, "Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory." Oh, the joy of the bride. Haven't experienced the love of the groom. Oh, the joy of the Christian. Whenever you just remember and you rejoice, Christ loved me. What are we told by the Apostle Paul in Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Keep your eyes upon Christ. Keep thinking about His love. Keep rejoicing in your bridegroom. Rejoice in it. Have your heart full. Have your eyes fixed. Because His love is an everlasting love. There's a delight that only can be experienced. You've experienced His love. Now you can apply that even, you think of it, married couples today. A joy will be between the bride and the groom. A joy, you'll see something in your bride or your groom that no one else sees. You'll have a joy in their presence. You'll have a joy with their love. You'll have a joy just in that knowledge. I love them. They love me. No one else can experience that love. You'll not experience that love of Christ in anything else. Christ's love is a full love. It brings out the fullness of joy. There's a desire for the love. There's a drawing in the love. There's a delight in the love. Fourthly and finally, I want you to see the declaration that comes from that love. Look at verse 5. She says, I am black, but comely. I am black, but comely. You put yourself in, for a moment, in the bride's shoes. Shulamite bride is believed to have come from Shunem. It's a little unimportant agricultural village in Lower Galilee. It's thought that she lived in poverty. Whenever you look at verse 6, she had no father. She lives with her widowed mother and with her siblings. Everything in her life was a failure. She was given the job in the family home. You tend to the vineyard. You take care of it. You make sure that you weed it out and you feed it and make sure that the grapes grow and we have the vine and we can then sell the grape. We can make wine and we can have some income because the father's gone. Verse 6 tells us that she couldn't keep it. Her siblings are angry with her. Her own vineyard is she not kept. She's from a poor village and she's from a very poor home. And she's a failure in the home. And yet she's just been brought into the king's chambers. And she's now living in the majesty of the palace. There's nothing of value or worth in her. That's why she says, I am black. She's acknowledging her place and not their palace. She says, I shouldn't be here. There's nothing attractive about me. There's nothing appealing about me. There's nothing that would warrant a king setting his love upon me. I am black. But, oh, thank God for the buts in Scripture. But comely. In other words, I'm beautiful. Isn't that the testimony of every Christian? You've experienced the love of God. Honesty before God, I am nothing. I'm a sinner. I've failed in my life. There's not one thing I've ever done of worth or value. I've just been a letdown. I've been a failure. I've been a sinner from the day dot. And yet the king chose me. The king set his love upon me. The king's brought me into his chambers. He brought me into the banqueting house, and the banner over me is what? Love. I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm black, but I'm comely. May you think of the vileness of sin, the wretch that we were. Yet now, when God looks upon us, he doesn't see the filthy wretch. He sees the beauty of holiness of his Son. Therefore we can say, I'm black, but I'm comely. I was a sinner. But thank God I'm saved. All because of the love of God. It's the greatest love of all. Let me ask the question this morning, have you experienced it? You experienced that love of God and salvation? Have you been to the cross? Had your sins forgiven? Have you experienced his love every day? He has drawn you closer. You ran to him. Can you say with that assurance in your heart today, yes, I was a sinner. Praise God, now I'm saved. My friend, if you can't, let me plead with you to come to Christ. Come and experience that deep, deep love. You'll never exhaust it. You'll never plunge to the depths of it. It's everlasting. It's infinite. And it's all you need. Come to him today. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee for the love of God. We thank thee, O God, that thy love is the greatest love of all. Even as the children sing in the little chorus, it's so high we can't get over it. So low we can't get under it. It's so wide we can't get round it. O Father, we thank thee for that love. Love that drew salvation's plan. Love that brought it down to man. We thank thee for Christ. We pray for each one that is before us today, that thou wilt speak on through thy word. And O Father, that thou wilt draw thy people ever closer unto thee. That thou wilt reveal more and more of thyself to us. That our love for thee will grow. We pray for the unsaved. O God, that I wilt work within them, that I wilt open up their eyes, take away the blindness of sin. Open up their eyes and may they run to thee, may they run to the cross. Father, separate us with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety even now. Bring us again tonight, I pray thee. In Jesus' name, amen.